are now listening to the Serious Growth Podcast with your host, Leo Costa Jr.
Well, here we are again, folks. Welcome to Serious Growth Podcast, where the truth will be told. I'm going to tell it like it is, whether you like it or not. Before I do that, before I get this off my chest, before I explode, my training today, you know, putting on muscle is all about volume training. Keep talking about that, but I just want to keep talking about that. And today my workout, I did back and biceps. I did 441 reps in 41 minutes between those two body parts. And I did that and I averaged 10.7 reps per minute. I think that's really important. And what my focus is to do even more reps in the same amount of time. 30 to 45 minutes is the ideal as far as spending time in the gym. We've talked about this before, but I'll talk about it again in nauseam. In 30 to 45 minutes, it's virtually or literally impossible, to overtrain the physiology. And that's where it's at. So as it relates to bodybuilding, putting on muscle, even developing muscle endurance, but putting on muscle, it's about volume, repetition. So my goal is to do even more than that in no more than 45 minutes. And keep in mind that realistically, you can actually go up to, I would say 55 minutes would be the absolute amount of time that you'd want to stay in the gym. So you can push that window just a little bit, but not, I mean, that's drop dead. You cannot go past 55 in my mind, because what you don't want is you don't want your body to go into where it's being overtrained, because then you have problems with recovery and all kinds of other issues, injuries and all that kind of stuff. So, and you know what, if for those of you that are out there, if you're still wondering, you know, there's been a debate for 1,000 years in our industry about what's better to put on muscle, you know, lifting more weight or doing more volume. Let me just leave you with this before I go on to something else. Have you ever seen the legs of an Olympic speed skater? Have you ever seen that? Fucking huge. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Those guys don't get legs like that because they're lifting weights. I'm not saying that weight training is not a part of the program, but they're training constantly to get as good as they get because the body becomes its function. So think about that. It only makes sense that the bulk of their training is actually, in this case, the speed skater being on the ice. Have you seen their legs? Just pull up a video and look at those fucking legs. Volume. They're doing that over and over again. How many times have we talked about this being mind-numbing, boredom to some degree, how you got to pound and pound over and over again? You're going to get bored. But look at those legs, man. And I'm sure they do some weight training. That for me is a clear cut. You know, I say a lot of the results are it's not black and white, it's gray. That's black and white for me. Okay. So now I have to get this off my chest before I explode, because I'm really close, very close today. Are you that person that thinks that lactic acid that gets you sore is an indicator of a good workout? Because I'm pretty sure that most of you probably do, and especially you knothead personal trainers, the guys that you call yourself a personal trainer, even you guys that are training yourself, if you think that soreness is an indicator of a good workout, you're mistaken. You're highly and sorely mistaken. It's not. It's definitely a buildup. It's a byproduct of anaerobic conditioning. Your body does do that. It's actually, that's part of the process of adapting to its environment. And that's actually a good thing. But the point that I'm making right now is that it's not an indicator of a good workout. Probably an indicator of what kind of shape you're in or not in. Because if you notice, when you first start doing a training program, or you change an exercise, because your body is so specific in the way it's adapting to its environment, that the minute you change the order of an exercise, guess what's going to happen? You're going to get sore. But that's just a buildup. That's your body producing energy without oxygen. And guess what? Your body is so smart that it can actually convert that energy, that soreness, that lactic acid, it'll convert that to energy. It's a good thing. So soreness is actually a good thing. I mean, you do have to know the difference between a muscle that's sore because you pull the muscle. Okay. But if it's just muscle soreness, it's a good thing, guys and gals. And again, it's a buildup of energy that your body produces when there's no oxygen, otherwise known as anaerobic conditioning. Now, one of the things that you can do, so as you're getting in better shape, it'll take longer for your body, if you'll notice, it takes longer and longer for your body to get that buildup because see, your body it keeps adapting to that environment. Your body is so fantastic that way. So it keeps adapting and it takes longer for you that lactic acid or that soreness to build up. Basically, in my mind, what that's telling you is you're getting in better shape. And now you have more, it takes longer to build up more of that lactic acid. Think of it this way. All of a sudden, you have a lot more energy that your body can go back to convert the lactic acid into energy. It's a beautiful thing. So don't stop. That's what I guess my point is. Don't stop training because you're sore. Keep training. One of the things that you can do to speed up the lactic acid in your body is you can do some lightweight training if you like. My suggestion would be just to do some, just maybe 10 or 15 minutes of cardio post-workout. You don't want to do too much cardio after a workout. You want to send your body into recovery. But no, just do like 10 minutes, maybe 15 minutes at the most of just easy walking. That'll help facilitate your body to flush that buildup of lactic acid. And you'll be surprised at how much better you'll feel as far as how the soreness goes. But you just have to understand what that soreness means before you do a knee-jerk response thinking that, well, I got to wait till I'm not sore again until I start working out. I've seen so many trainers do that. Or people think, I can't train today because I'm sore. That's bullcrap. Okay. So stop doing that. Okay. I think I got that off my chest. I think I feel better.
All right. Let's take a quick break so I can tell you about our product.
Do you want a bone-crushing grip? Good, because you're going to get one with the amazing new TRS Gripper. It's a progressive grip builder with longer handles and a special ergonomic design that's like a dozen hand grippers in one. Start off easy and work your way up to quickly build your grip strength from wet noodle to pulverizing. The package includes a video from the world-famous strength coach, Dr. Russ Horine, the man who worked with Leo Costa to help bring you Big Beyond Belief and the Bulgarian Power Burst. Dr. Horine shows you a simple and easy to follow workout plan that takes just minutes a day right from in front of your TV set if you want. So click on the link below and let's get started building you a stronger, firmer, bone-crushing grip.
I feel better. I was in the best shape of my life. And I can't tell you how many times I had people say to me, are you sick? Oh, you're skinny. I was in the best fucking shape of my life when they said that. I was in the kind of shape where I was competing it happened at every level when I first started competing, but it never changed. I'm 250 fucking pounds. And I got people saying, oh, you look sick. Or you're skinny. You know what? This sport can definitely make you insane for that very reason. It can make you insane when people say stuff like that. And that's part of the game. You know, that's part of the game you have to deal with. I saw it like on a lot of shows. It was kind of comical, actually, when I'm flashing back now to when I was at the I competed at the old man's masters competition in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. By the way, 430 athletes. I had come back from my 13-year layoff you know, I had a wild hair up my ass. I wanted to see if muscle had memory. That was my goal, to see if muscle still had that memory. And it did. But 430 athletes at this competition. It was amazing. But I tell you what was amazing is watching how so many people, you know, you do all this work and then you're down to the last day or so. I want to tell you something. This goes to what I'm talking about when somebody's telling me I'm skinnier or I look sick. I saw so many people having meltdowns in the back room. Unbelievable. Because your body is changing so fast, you don't know how to decipher that. And that's the reason why you probably need, at that point, you need a full-time shrink just calming your ass down, because you're in panic mode the whole time. If we were to measure how much cortisol was being produced in that room of 400 athletes, you'd probably get really stone drunk on it. I'm telling you, it was wild, man. And, you know, I hate to say it because I think guys are emotional, but some of these gals in the back, fuck me, man. I wouldn't want to be their trainer. No way. Poor guys and girls. Those frickers are going off on them. It makes you crazy. How can you be in the best shape of your life muscle-wise and somebody looks at you and they say that? I guess it's all about perspective. Because to be honest with you, I mean, the people that said that, if I'm really thinking about that right now, are people that weren't in bodybuilding. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, okay, but it still fucking hurts. It's like, what do you mean I was sick or skinny? How dare you? I should knock your fucking head off for saying that to me. But I better not, because then they'll accuse me of having roid rage. Has very little to do with that, by the way. Roid rage is bullshit. It is. You already have it before you take the drug, the steroid. It just brings it out of you. We just find out sooner, okay, that you're an idiot. But no, roid rage is an excuse for people to lose their fucking minds in my mind. I never had roid rage ever. I have more rage now than I ever had when I was competing. I think it's old man rage. That's what I think. Fucking shit is awful. Whew, it's wicked. I feel sorry for people that are around me. Anyway, getting back to this thing. But you got to consider the source. And in all seriousness, if you're that person that's getting ready for a show, I would say that it's always really important to have somebody that's objective in your court. You got to have a no man or a no woman person in your court, not a yes man or a yes woman. You have to have somebody that can tell you the truth. I'm not saying that maybe these people didn't have good intention. They just didn't know what they're seeing because they weren't used to seeing that. So you always have to consider the source. But again, that doesn't change the fact that stings a little bit. It's like, oh, damn. You know? So those people are saying that for that reason. And then the people that are maybe also saying it could be like the Arnold Schwarzeneggers of the world when he fucked with Lou Ferrigno before the Olympia. For those of you, I think it was called Pumping Iron. I think it was that show where he did that, where he's sitting around with Lou Ferrigno. Louis was competing, I think, for the first time in the Olympia. And Arnold was like his sixth time or something like this. And Louis looked up to Arnold, who didn't back then. And so Arnold and Louis, and Louis's dad used to train Arnold. Louis's dad used to train Louis. And they, you know, to meet Arnold Schwarzenegger was Louis's, he like idolized Arnold. What he didn't know about Arnold was, I don't think, is how cantankerous Arnold was. He fucked with you all the time, constantly, mind games, which is part of sport, man. You know, you play people's minds. When you start taking up residence in their headspace, think about that. All of a sudden, you're residing in there. That's a distracting move. So they're sitting around having breakfast the day before. Arnold, Louis's dad, I don't know, a couple other people. And Arnold was saying, Louis, you feeling okay today? And Louis was like, yeah, why? Well, he really didn't say. You know, he was just implying. You sure you're feeling okay, Louis? Yeah, I'm feeling fine. Okay, just checking. Something like that. It was sort of that implication. Like something was wrong. You know, Louis could take it. Like, what the fuck's going on? Do I not look good or what? Same idea. Arnold says to Lou, he says, Lou, can you imagine how I feel? Mind you, this is the day before a competition, a biggest competition. It's the Olympia, for fuck's sake. And Louis goes, I called my mom today day before. And he had won six of these. I called my mom today, Louis, and I told her I won the Olympia for the seventh time. Can you imagine how I feel, Louis? Can you see what's going on there? So in that sort of environment and arena, okay, that was being used as a war tactic. And you know what? It was pretty effective because, in fact, Arnold would win on his seventh Olympia or sixth, whichever one it was. But the point is, okay, he was fucking with Louis in that scenario. These people, they don't know what they're looking at, you know? And I'll tell you something else. So it can make you crazy. It's always good to have somebody who's grounding you and centering you, because you know what? The other thing that'll happen, and I don't get it, but when I was that close in that good shape, I could look at the light. I'd be hit a pose in like the mirror over here. I look phenomenal. I go over here to this mirror. I look like shit. And it was that drastic. How does that happen? Come on, I go back over here. And I got to the point, I didn't even really know if I knew what I was looking at. I had no clue. Because how does that happen? How do you look fantastic over here? Okay, I get lighting. I get that. But that drastic? Over here, it looked like shit. Over here, it looked great. I don't even know if I look good. I couldn't tell if I look good when I was that close to a competition. That's how fucking crazy this sport will make you. Bottom line. So if you can deal with all that distraction. Oh, and guess what? You also have to deal with life along the way. This is just dealing with bodybuilding stuff. The stuff, the garbage that comes along with it. And you know what? Arnold, I think, said it best. He said, you got to learn how to play the game. And there's a lot to that. And what I can tell you is this, because I think it's really good advice. Always be prepared. Over-prepare if you have to, but be prepared. Over-prepared as opposed to under-prepared or not prepared at all. Because if you are, and you have crossed your T's and dotted your I's, and you paid attention to the nth degree, to the small things, documenting workouts, don't leave anything that's unturned. Because when you've done that, when you've done all that, the rest is up to the judges and a subjective sport grading you, whether or not you're better than the guy next to you or the gal next to you. You have nothing more to say about that. But you've done everything that you can possibly do. You have to, if you can look in the mirror and say, I've done everything, you haven't left anything out, put that shit in a box and move forward and go enjoy yourself. Because there's not much more than you could do. It's kind of like as a parent, when I was coaching my kid, when that coach has worked with my kid and my, as a parent, I've worked with my sons in practice, repetition being the mother's skill, whatever it was. We were playing baseball. We were taking hitting practice, 100 swings a day. Okay. And that's all you can do. Because if you fret and worry when you're going into competition, you're dead in the water. Why? Because now instead of you reacting and enjoying the moments, because you have to enjoy this stuff. And I saw so many bodybuilders as I was training and competing over the years, they just weren't having fun. And I'm not saying that it's fun. I don't think training is fun. I think it's war. But you know what? There's some great satisfaction to, because you go in with a goal to create this aesthetically beautiful body and you do that. It's not fun, but the results that you get from that, man, that's golden. That lasts forever. That never goes away in your memory. And it just means more when you actually have to work for it. It means a lot more. It means everything. But to transition from that and just say, I've done everything I can possibly do. Now the rest is for me to go out and have a great time. Because you know what? I learned that lesson even more when I took my 13-year layoff and I came back and I competed at the age of, I think I came back at, I was 53 or 54 when I came back from a 13-year layoff. What was that? 41 was my last one. Yeah, about 53 or 54. And I got to tell you something. I learned this lesson. You know, there's so many lessons that can't be learned when you're young. They can't. You young ones, you got to learn. We got to go through the process. Everything's a process. But what I learned was this. When I came back at 53, 54, I had so much more fun doing this stuff. I loved it. I wish that I could have taken that back when I was competing earlier. I really do. Because the moment, I was so in the moment. And I believe that if I could have been more in that moment, because I was too, if I'm looking at what I mean by that, I was too distracted with things that were going on, my business life and my personal life. And some of that's going to be anyway. So the point is this, if you compartmentalize all this stuff, all this noise into this box, if you're competing, or even if you're training, when you're training, see, this applies all across the board. Put all the noise in a box while you're training. Put all the noise in a box after you've done your homework and you're ready for show. Now just go show. Go have fun. Because you know what? When people see that you're having fun and that you're prepared, and you know that you're prepared, it's kind of like I used to get really nervous when I was doing a speech if I wasn't prepared. I could wing it. But when I was prepared, I could wing it with style. Sprezzatura, as the Italians say. Sprezzatura, making something hard look easy. You think that just happens naturally? It doesn't. Prepare yourself. Go have fun. Learn from it. And remember, there's never a finish line. Never. If there's a finish line, you're dead. And we don't want you to be dead. Regroup. Reanalyze. Move forward. Make it better. Hey, till next time, go get serious growth and have fun.
Thanks for listening to the Serious Growth Podcast. For more episodes like the one you just listened to, subscribe to us on your mobile podcast app and leave us a review. If you'd like to reach out, you can find us online at seriousgrowth.com. Until next time, train smart and train hard.